want to just bow before the Lord, because without him, you know what we're going to do. We're going to make a mess. Lord Jesus, I ask that you open up the hearts, the ears for understanding, the eyes to see what Jesus is really saying to each of these today. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. We're going to be going to 1 John chapter 4. So while you're on your way there, I want to give you what he showed me this morning. And so those of you who have your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 4. He gave me several things this morning. But one of the things that I've learned is that the kingdom of God is really inside of us. And this is what came forth out of my spirit. When the kingdom of God is established inside of me, there will be love flowing to all that are hurt and wounded. When the kingdom of God is established inside of me, there will be abundance of all that I need for life. When the kingdom of God is established inside of me, there will be life, health, wealth, without limits. When the kingdom of God is established inside of me, there will be total peace in me, and it will touch all of those around me. When the kingdom of God is established in me, there will be eternity, yes, never ending, and no fear. No fear. Say to your neighbor, when the kingdom of God is fully established inside of me, there will be no more fear. Hallelujah. Because I kept hearing in my heart, actually I heard it yesterday, you need to give them an awareness of what fear does. Now, I never knew that I had made a covenant of fear. But I got news for you. Every time the scripture says in Romans 6:16, to whom you bow to, you become a slave to. So in other words, we have free will in the earth. We've been given free will from the beginning, from the time that actually we were in our mother's womb. It starts there, where you make decisions. You say, now wait a minute. How could Jayla have made a decision inside her mother's womb? I've got news for you. Her spirit knows exactly what's going on. And she said yes to the Heavenly Father so that she could come down and be a part of Jay's family. That's how it works. So you're not here by accident. You're here by a decree from the Father. You're not connected to each other by God's grace for you to start tearing down each other. That is not your job. Your job is to be what? An intercessor. One that picks up on the woundedness in you. And the one that does pick it up carries you until you get to the victory. Now that doesn't mean you get divorced on the way. It doesn't say that. It says until the kingdom comes alive in each of us. Because that's the reality. How is St. Paul saying constantly, I am ever interceding until Christ is formed in you? What is Christ? It's the anointing. It's to take you higher. It's to get to know God's ways and to respond with God's love instead of your attitude. Amen. How many have ever had a problem with attitude? Oh, I'm so glad I'm not alone. Glory to God. I used to be so good at finding fault with this one and that one. And never hardly seeing what I ever did wrong.
Amen.
Okay? So you see, you're human. You say, well, how come I got into this mess? Because it was God's plan to test you. It was God's plan to test each and every one of us. And then to see if we would fall in love with those that are broken. I'm hearing a song in my heart that literally crashed my plans for life. This is back in 1982. My wife and I are at PTL. And there was a young lady that had written a song. I want you to just close your eyes. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my whole life removing pain. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my whole life removing pain. I wept for days. I couldn't get rid of the song. It was stuck in me like super glue. Every time I tried to pull it off, the flesh would literally rip. Because I knew what it was like to hurt. Tina, that's for you. Because that's been in your heart for years, and you're seeing it start to blossom. And you're saying, God, how can you have chosen such a walk with me? And how could you have chosen such a hard space for me? But out of that hard space, God will make you into a lover that you could have never been any other way. This is the path He chose for you. And it is marvelous in my sight, even though the pain is real. But I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Donald, that includes you. When fear took over my life, I can't tell you exactly how old I was, but I definitely was just a little boy. My mother had a quest in her heart. She had been brought up in fear. She was tormented by fear. And she was decided that she was going to teach me how to walk out of fear and be bold. Her first press was to teach me how to sing. So, whenever there was a family gathering, there was always a push to make me sing. First time I remember singing publicly was at my uncle's wedding. I was 5. Why would God do that? Because He had chosen to give me 2 moms and 2 dads. One that gave me birth, and one that gave me life. Why? Because it was God's plan. You see, trying to wiggle away for what's happened to you is not the answer. It's to really look at why He allowed you a hardship. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute, do you have any idea? I've been divorced. Tough cookies! You say, wait a minute. How can this be? I made a mistake. Welcome to the club. You see, it doesn't matter where you've been. It does matter where you're going. And we're all going together. Because there's a commitment in the hearts of the people of God today to make it. And to make it happen. In spite of the pain. In spite of the torment. In spite of the fear tactics. Because they are tactics to pull you down and to destroy you. But they cannot complete their mission. Because God has provided a way. His name is Jesus. When I watched my mom go home, it broke my heart. And somebody asked me a while back, what have you learned? And I said, I'm not ready to talk about it. Because it hurts. hurts like crazy. Even to allow the thoughts to go in that direction. I pull away because if I don't pull away, my emotions take over and I become useless. Not only to myself, but to the Lord. So I begin to thank Him for taking her home and not allowing her to suffer any further. That's for you, Rick. Because you see, the pain in the body can be so dramatic. And when you have to let them go, it hurts. You can't take that pain away from anybody. You have to recognize that it's part of God's plan to show you the gift of His mercy, to take them home so that the pain can stop. You see, in that 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Just try that one on for size. The one who fears cannot be made perfect in love. That's scary. That is so scary. Because you see, we all have this idea, oh, well, I can fear a little. No! If you submit, you become a slave to it. It sneaks in while you're sleeping in the middle of the night. It covers your thoughts with an overwhelming trauma. And then it starts accusing you in any way that it can. You say, but Kim, wait a minute, aren't you human? Yes, I am. But you know what? I'm spirit first. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I am spirit first. Soul second. Mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul. And I live in this tent, this body. So I'm three parts. And the first part of me, the real me, is spirit. Now I want you to just skip over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. This is a letter that St. John wrote directly from the Spirit of the Father. And he has a distinct message here. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, and the vile, the murderers, and the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Did you hear? The cowardly is those that bow to fear. Some of the Bibles say the fearful, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers. You say, well, there's no hope. Yes, there is. There is hope. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus because He is love. He is not made of love. He is love. He is actually love in action. He's living inside of you. So you've already got Him. Yes?
What chapter and verse was that?
21:8. The cowardly. Those that are constantly buckling under. You say, well, I've been doing it all my life. Well, today's the change. Today is the day you bow to love. If you go back and you look again, verse 18, 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. It cannot be. You can't serve two masters. Amen? Now, we're not made schizophrenic. That's not us. You have one Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. He already conquered fear and death. So you've got the one that's already made it inside of you. So it's not a foreign language. But I can tell you this. The accuser would like to convince me, even now, that I still serve that spirit of fear. And I remember the Holy Spirit bringing me to this word many years back, saying to me, how long are you going to keep that covenant? How long are you going to be cowardly? And how long before you start confessing what I say about you rather than what you feel? How many know your feelings can be deceptive? Okay. Those feelings that you have about being fearful are not make-believe. They are real. And sometimes you're going to have to force yourself to do things even when you're afraid. Joyce Meyer had a message on that. Do it afraid. That is submitting yourself to the spirit of love and saying God is greater. God can take me through. God can lift me up. God can strengthen me. Philippians 4:19. I can do all things through Christ. No, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 19 is he's supplying my needs. That includes his love. There are times you're going to have to talk to yourself. You say, are you crazy? No. You're going to have to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm strong in him. He will put his strength in me to carry me through to the victory. He will change my heart. He will heal my heart. He's already done it, but he's still in the process. And it is a process of learning and resubmitting to the spirit of love. When you bow and you buckle under because you're afraid, you need to be able to respond. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Try it on. Close your eyes. Say, God did not give me a spirit of fear. If he didn't give it to me, where's it from? Has to be from the flesh and hell. Adam bowed to fear. He showed me the way to be afraid, even of God, by covering his nakedness with leaves. I'm all done covering myself. Because God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And I don't need to be afraid to be naked before God. So I break my covenant today that I made to bow to fear, which created torment. And I bow today to his perfect love that is reconstructing me, making me look more and more like Jesus every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I trust you by choice. And sometimes I'll even do it afraid. Even if it scares me a little or a lot, it's the same God who began a great work in me, and he'll confirm it by carrying me if he has to. Why would he carry me? Why would he lift me up when I least expect it? Why would he take me and literally take me from point A to point B? Because of his great love. That's the bottom line. And if you and I could taste of his great love, then we can go deeper. Amen? Now, I gave some of these away today because we had a commission from the elders to give these away. And before I close, I want to give you February 19th. That happens to be a few days from now. But I want you to listen. If you've got a copy that I gave you for your family, take a look at February 19th because I want to read. I want to read it, but I also want you to taste it. Okay? Because I said to the Lord, I know your word here, but I want something to kind of just clinch the truth in. How many know sometimes you get one word that will trigger, and boy, oh boy, that makes it real. And you can carry it to the bank. Holy Ghost bank. Amen? Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I repeat. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When we go through a trial, we tend to ask ourselves, does God really love me? How come I don't seem to see it? When that happens, it is time to bring in the cross. For God's love for you is displayed forever at the cross. God gave up his son to suffer and die on the cross for you and me. Jesus was pierced in 7 places for you. In his head by the crown of thorns, his 2 hands and his feet by the nails, and his side and heart by the spear of a Roman soldier. Jesus wore the crown of thorns on his head so that you can have a sound mind free from fear, guilt, depression, anxiety, and stress. When Jesus first showed his nail-pierced hands to his disciples, he said to them, "Peace be with you." He wanted them to know that peace is found in his finished work, typified by his pierced hands. The more you see his finished work, which has brought complete forgiveness of all your sins, the more your conscience will be at peace and at rest. Jesus' feet brought him to places where there was lack, disease, rejection, condemnation, and even death. And those feet were nailed pierced to, so that you do not need to be in such places yourself. He has rescued you from having to accept and suffer these things in life. The blood and the water that flowed out of Jesus' side when he was pierced. Medical science will tell you that means his heart had ruptured. Jesus died literally of a broken heart, so that your heart can be filled with love or with joy. And just as Eve came forth from Adam's side, when he was sleeping, the bride of Christ, the church, came forth from Jesus' pierced side and death. If he died to have you as his spotless bride, he lives today to care for you. Beloved, the only man-made thing in heaven today are those scars on his body. They will remain forever as tokens of his everlasting love and passion for you. So if God did not spare his son, but delivered him up for you, how will he not with him also freely give you all things? If you reflect on that truth, excuse me, and you realize what he did in you, it is progressive. It is a little piece at a time that you lose the old identity of fear. It is a little piece at a time that you grow in trust. It is a little piece at a time that your heart is healed. And every day, you get a little stronger because of His love for you. Bow your heads, please. Father, I've given them what You've given me. And now I ask for Your Holy Spirit to confirm it, so that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what You have done. Continue pouring love through them to each other. Continue to give them a press to intercede for those who are hurting more than they are. And to show them the heart of the Savior and the heart of the Father, who loved them enough to bring life into them when they didn't think they deserved it. And all of God's people said, amen. Share some love with each other. And before we go any further, I'm sorry, I forgot one thing. I keep forgetting, but this morning I guess I thought of it.
You probably know that when I do this, I'm unprepared. Because there's so much to be said. If you raise your hands for the offering.
Amen.
Lord, we are blessed to be in Your presence and to be able to tithe and offer for this church and the good it can do with Your word. We are blessed for those who gave and those who couldn't or should. So, Lord, everyone has a blessing. In Your name.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to, yes, go ahead.
Next week's Fellowship Sunday.
I'm going to ask you to keep a lady named Claudette and her son Michael in prayer as the Lord leads you. This is my sister-in-law's sister. That happens to be Nicole's oldest sister. She was brutally attacked by her son, who beat her and put her in the hospital with broken bones. He went off the deep end on drugs and meds of some type that we're not sure of. And she is in a hospital in Pennsylvania. And it's kind of odd how God coordinates. Those of you who know Claude and Carol from the North Kingdom House of Prayer, that happens to be Carol's youngest sister. Oldest sister, I'm sorry. Carol is the youngest, and Claudette is the oldest. And she's flying out to go help her sister recover. And their home has been damaged because of the rampage that this young man went under. So we're needing extra from the Lord as the Lord leads you. Okay? Be blessed. Share some hugs with each other. You really need it.